10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
All right, tonight we have detailed weather for you. If you're driving anywhere in the Midwest, I want to hear the weather conditions where you are. Live, 855-839-1210. Now, Dr. Dave. It's 8 minutes past the hour, Teases go here. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Sunday. You and I will stay up to date on the snow. 18-wheelers, 4-wheelers, there's nothing more challenging than driving in the snow. I was on Route 80 yesterday, Friday, going to see Father Jim Drucker, WARM star, and a former Catholic chaplain in Desert Storm. Man sacrificed his whole life to take care of you and me. And the other direction on the highway, and it wasn't even that stormy yet, an 18-wheeler had turned around. It was facing the wrong direction and had jackknifed into the ditch, blocking both lanes of traffic. You know that traffic was backed up for days, but you and I will keep up to date on the weather throughout the Midwest, and I need to hear from you. If you find a particularly challenging place to drive in the 18-wheeler, in your car, I want to hear from you. My phone number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. It's a live radio show, Sterling Every Damn Sunday, from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific. Walter Sterling. I want to mention some very important people. And these people have some things in common. Now listen, they have some very important things in common. Each person I'm about to mention did not win any participation trophies. They would have found them repulsive, disgusting. Each one of these people made a decision to be actualizing their dream. Each of them has a dream. And they did whatever they had to do to make it happen and expected nothing to be handed to them. They also have the common trait of a good heart. They are Americans in every sense, in the best sense of being Americans, because they said, all right, this is who I am. This is who I want to be. This is how I want to treat people. This is how I want to take care of my family. And I'm going to be focused on that and try to do it honorably and the right way. Because that's who we are. That's what makes you and me unique in the world. Jim Paul, an executive at Car Futures, a man who'd get up at 5 in the morning and walk 30 blocks to work and 30 blocks home, worships his daughter and his wife, Pat, and decided to be so successful that he was the youngest member of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. He did that before he was 30. He lost $1 million before he was 30, but he made it back. Jim Paul. And then there's Captain Patrick Brown. Captain Patrick Brown is one of those firemen, a New York City fireman, who all the other firemen wanted to be in his firehouse. He was that guy. Well known in Lower Manhattan as the best manager of firemen. He was a real fireman, a great New York City fireman, Captain Patrick Brown. And Billy DeMayo from Homedale, New Jersey. He's 25 and landed at 25 one of the hardest jobs in the world. But before he landed the job, he had been an accomplished lacrosse player. In athletics, in college, collegiate athletics, there's no participation trophies. You have to be really good to get on the team. You have to be really good to stay on the team, and you have to be really good to win those trophies. And Billy DeMayo does that, 25-year-old lacrosse player. Then, oh my God, he decided to swim with the Sharks and did what he had to do to persuade Chris Oliveiro, Odyssey Company, radio company in New York City. They own 1010 Winds, and they own WFAN and all those scary radio stations. Billy DeMayo convinced them that he could sell the hardest thing in the world to sell, which is air. He could sell air. When you hear commercials on this show, what did they really sell? They didn't know if it's going to work. They sell air. Here, we're going to sell you time sometime. Where's it going to be? It's going to be on the air. Good luck. And Billy DeMayo convinced Chris Oliveiro in New York City and the sales team in New York City at Odyssey that he could do it. Now, let me tell you, if you're an account executive, you're a salesperson, it's a long line of people who want to work for Odyssey in New York for those radio stations, WFAN and Winds, and Billy convinced them that he could do that. And Tiger Besh, again, no participation trophies. He's a all-Ivy football player. And he did what he had to do to get into Princeton. Got into Princeton. And then got into the world of finance after he graduated from Princeton. But you don't get into Princeton on favors. You might get the interview. You might get your application read. But ultimately, you're only going to get and stay and graduate from Princeton on achievement. Patrick Brown and Jim Paul were slaughtered and murdered for the crime of going to work at the World Trade Center. And they were my heart friends, people I talked to every damn day. They were my heart friends. And they were murdered by cowards, criminals, mutants. They were murdered for going to work. And Billy DeMayo, 25 years old, lacrosse star, and Tiger Besh, 28 years old, football star, Princeton graduate, finance wizard, and son. Well, those two were murdered for going to a party on Bourbon Street by a coward who didn't show them their face, did not say, let's talk about this or I'm going to kill you. No, nothing. He just took his very large truck and drove it into them and murdered them and 15 people on Bourbon Street. I don't say the murderers' names. I don't say what their motive was. I don't care. They murdered four of our best in the most cowardly way possible. And Father Jim Drucker, all of those people deserve your prayers. It's, but I'll tell you about the people who did the murdering. The people who did the murdering, I don't care what their names are. I don't care who militarized them. No, it's a lot of crap. There are people who convert religions. There are people who believe in certain things that you don't believe in. That don't get in trucks and planes and murder innocent people. The people who do that are insane. That's it. It doesn't matter what the external forces are. The wiring in their brain is so crazy, they imagine that was a solution to whatever bothered them. And the reason it bothered them is because they did not have a role in our culture. They didn't have a job. They didn't have a family. They didn't have a wife. They didn't have children. They didn't have a role. And ladies and gentlemen, people who do not have a role are dangerous because they will seek excitement in all of its forms. Sterling every Sunday.
Exotic dancers are a lot like you and me. Frequently, when they're not doing sex work, they're looking for love. And love can happen with a client of a gentleman's club. So I'm going to give you my tips for dating a dancer. Check for drug problems. Sadly, many of our dancers have some sort of a drug problem. Does your dancer have children? If your dancer has children and you want to date her and she wants to date you, okay, let's talk about a few things. How many kids does she have and how many different fathers? You give a little warning here if you've never learned about this ploy. There are women out there who will go and pursue a man who, especially if he doesn't have children, he has a pretty good income. So they can go and get income based on child support. Dancers see hundreds of men a week, and they know your income. You're showing up on a regular basis to that club, and let's face it, you have a lot of money. Maybe you have a very nice watch. Maybe you're very well dressed. Maybe you wear an ascot. I'm going to tell you, they know your income. Now, if this exotic dancer has two kids by two different guys, she may want to have a third child with you so she can get some sweet child support, especially if you don't have other children. Perfect example of predatory strippers includes one Hunter Biden, the son of the U.S. president. Hunter Biden was spending a lot of time in strip clubs and apparently was squiring ladies in the champagne room, which usually is a no-no, but if your daddy's the vice president or the president, thumbs up. He impregnated an exotic dancer. Fought it, and of course DNA came back, and you are the father. Maury was smiling from wherever he is, hanging out with Connie Chung. That's what will happen to you if you're not careful. So if you're a high income gentleman who likes going to the club, dating a dancer can have problems. But let's face it, finding love in 2025, it's a difficult thing. Look for the warning signs. And always wear a prophylactic. A prophylactic, everybody. And dating a dancer is even better if you've had a vasectomy. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the Loose. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Illuminati infiltrators, the people of Walmart, later, Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired police detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, I share my thoughts on the horrific terrorist attack in New Orleans on New Year's Eve. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Amy Robach.
I have chosen love in my life, and I'm very excited about that path. I'm living my truth. There has been a price to pay, but I'm excited about the future.
All right, there's Peter Thiel. Welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday. Where are you?
Today I am in Des Moines, Iowa.
And tell me about the weather.
It's just cold here. We didn't get any snow in Des Moines.
Do you expect snow?
It's like 10 degrees.
10 degrees. Do you expect snow?
No.
That's a relief. You had a good New Year?
Yeah. I had a good time. And, wrangled the dog, rang in the New Year with some champagne and baklava. Yeah, it was good.
Do you have any more information about these strippers? Do you have any theories about them we need to talk about? Are you worried about these sort of women?
Yes, I am. I think that I'm worried about these gals because frequently they're lonely, but they're business people all at the same time. It's a real confusing thing. Sometimes they want money because they're smart, and other times they need money for the next fix.
Now, you shared with me an amazing fact about baby mamas and baby daddies and their income, something I'd never even had considered. Will you share that with us?
Yes. So there are some women who have figured out that they can essentially sit at home, live a great life, raising children, if they have children by different men who have high incomes, and it's their only child. So there are women that go out and do this. and they recruit men. They're attractive. They're willowy. And I learned about this, oh, probably about 30 years ago. I was selling cars for a year between radio gigs. And there was a gal who came in sharp, you know, attractive. And she, her child support income was more than her job income, and her job income was not bad. So she bought a $30,000 sports car. I don't know how you get three kids in a $30,000 sports car, but she did.
Payment plan. Now, last week there was an amazing piece of news that was minimized. This woman who's quote, engaged to Jeff Bezos, one of the richest men in the world, was on his yacht with her ex-boyfriend, and it was raided by the police for an hour and a half, but Jeff wasn't on the yacht. I'm like, why was Jeff's yacht raided for an hour and a half? Why was she on the yacht with her ex-boyfriend? My theory is Jeff sent the cops when he found out the ex-boyfriend was there.
Yeah, my guess is that yes, and Jeff Bezos, by the way, has his own personal security detail. These are people that are looking at cameras, and believe me, if you have a $500 million yacht, right, there's cameras on there. They right. know who's coming in, who's leaving at any time, 24/7, whether Jeff Bezos or his Miss Sanchez are on it or not.
I think he sent the cops, and I think that relationship is over. And every day that relationship went on, Jeff's real wife, she just keeps looking better. Now, Peter, I'm damn sure you should have a great job by now. How is that feeling?
You know what? It's a good feeling to have a job. I'm not quite employed yet, but it's coming. It's coming quickly. I feel it happening.
Well, you're a great supporter of the show. You're a great performer on the show. You're one of the many spectacular character voices that we get to have on Sterling every damn night. And I'm grateful for our friendship, and I'm grateful for you. I hope you don't get any snow, but if you do, here's what old disc jockeys used to say. They used to say, and get out and enjoy the snow.
Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah. Now it's a polar vortex. It used to be, get out and enjoy the snow. And I'm like, now it's all doom. Hey, Peter Thiel, thank you very much for being on Sterling every damn night. It's 29 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. If you have hit snow in your truck, in your car, I want to know about it. We want to keep America up to date because this is a live show. There is no other live show at this time. No, they don't exist, really. I mean, none. The Best of Gold show, the Bitcoin show, a Retirement and You show. I don't think so. Here's my number. It's 855-839-1210. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every damn night, inspired by nice men.
You would have no illusion of being able to be a strong, independent woman and have all these choices and do
but
what you want.
But why do men do all of that?
They do it because they're benevolent and they are good. Isn't that crazy? They're actually really nice.
But they're getting something out of you.
If men were as bad and misogynistic as you think, they would put us in cages and we'd be, you know, baby farms.
You're a bit of a baby farm. Haven't you popped out five children?
Yeah,
I'm a baby farm.
All news, more news, day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling
past the hour, 37 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling and Dwayne in Kansas City. How's 435 tonight, Dwayne? Dwayne, how's 435 tonight? Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Well, is he there or not?
What'd you say?
Oh, my God.
I'm here, man.
You got to listen on hold. Don't listen to the radio. Listen on hold. He told you to listen on hold, didn't he?
No.
Great. Okay, Dwayne, how's 435 tonight?
Man, it's horrible.
How bad?
Real bad.
Have you been driving tonight, Dwayne, in Kansas City? Have you been driving in Overland Park?
I've been driving in Overland Park, but I'm driving in the city of Kansas City. and it's even the streets here are horrible.
Ice or snow?
Ice. I mean, snow. It's snow with ice on the bottom. I plow snow.
You're a snow plow. How late are you going to be working tonight, sir?
I got about 50 to do, but I'll probably only do about 15, and I'll get up in the morning.
Now, can your truck get through? Go ahead.
I got three trucks, though.
Right, so you're running a snow plow business. This is a boom night for you. How many accidents have you seen in the Kansas City area tonight?
I haven't seen any accidents. It's just cars on the side of the road.
They can't make it. They skid it over to the side. Yeah,
exactly. And they're towing them, too, because they have to be able to clear the snow. So I saw about three or four tow trucks out there also.
And how about the cops? Have there been any tractor trailers in the ditch?
No, I didn't see that. I'm in the city now, so I'm not where any tractor trailers would be.
Blaine, I appreciate this update. It's 40 minutes past the hour. Would you call us back in an hour and give us an update?
All right. Okay.
No, I'll really be out. I know
it's
you're
still
out.
Snowing, so.
You're out. It's still snowing. You're our guy in Kansas City, and I appreciate the report, Blaine. And thank you for listening on KMBZ-FM. I am grateful for that. And thank you for calling Sterling every damn Sunday, 40 past the hour. And here is Mateus Boom Boom in Hollywood covering the Golden Globes, for Sterling every damn Sunday. There's no one else covering the Golden Globes. He's live. He's there. What are some of the things that really struck you, Mateus? What has been stunning about the Golden Globes this year, besides the fact that Ricky Gervais is not the host?
That's probably one of the best things, Walter, and a very pleasant evening to our Midnight Misfit tuning in right now. Nikki Glaser's done a much better job than he did in the past, although she's had a few liners fall flat at the opening here at the Beverly Hilton Hotel, where all of this is happening as we speak. It's still ongoing, probably for another, I'd say another 15, 20 minutes at least before they have to surrender the airtime. What's been interesting so far, Walter, is television. The thing that's been leading with the most number of awards so far is the TV show Shogun, which has won three awards so far, two for actors, and I think that that's pretty solid of a series. I don't know if you've seen it. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I remember the old Shogun, and I like those old Japanese movies, and I think it's just a solid production, so good for them. Also, coming in second in television is Hacks, which has gotten a couple of awards so far, and one for Jean Smart, who's a wonderful actress who I've always loved, and, you know, she's been on since Designing Women years ago, and to see an old person actually win an award is pretty extraordinary when it's all about the young and what's tomorrow. So that's for Hacks. As far as movies, so far Emilia Perez is leading as the show is ongoing with three Golden Globes handed out tonight. This is the musical about the transgender mob boss in Mexico. It's a musical, and it was bizarre for me when we reviewed it on this program, but it seems to have captured the attention of the voters of the Golden Globes.
Which actress had the most outrageous outfit?
Oh, I don't know. I think Demi Moore had a very dynamic outfit, which had a sort of a silver dress with this large S, which went down the front of it, a sort of the shape of an S. And she actually gave a wonderful speech when she won an award tonight for the best performance by an actress in a motion picture, musical, or comedy for her appearance in The Substance, which is actually a horror movie, although some people who apparently have no feeling at all or made of stone may laugh at something like that, and maybe that's why it's a comedy. But she said as she went up onto the stage that the universe had told her that she's not done. She tried this crazy script, and now she's being lauded for it. So good for her and her stick-to-itiveness.
Winner Jean Smart of Hacks is 71 years old and looks incredible and is funnier than heck. Congratulations to her. Has Aubrey Plaza presented, or is she in mourning over the death of her husband?
I've not yet seen her. There was some person on stage that mentioned Aubrey and her family and sending them very best regards at this very difficult time. But we've not seen her here.
Were there any surprises to you? Anybody who won when you won? Really? Are you kidding me?
Yes, yes, absolutely. The best director was given to a director who made a movie that was so bad it left a stain on the screen, a movie I haven't yet reviewed because it hasn't gone wider than New York and San Francisco, and I'm telling you, it's the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, and to have this guy actually pull off the award for best director for the movie The Brutalist, Brady Corbet, is ridiculous, and I'll tell you why it's ridiculous. I spoke to this man after a screening of this movie in San Francisco, and I asked him about this scene with Adrian Brody in a car with his wife, and they're listening to a Kennedy speech, JFK, on the radio. It's a period film. And I asked him, what speech did you use there, and what was the significance of using for that scene? And he looked at me and could not tell me what actual JFK speech was used in his own movie. You think this guy's in charge of something? I think he left it to a lot of assistants and is just a front man for this movie. And I really find it, I guess I'm not leaving anything out here, but, you know, I think it's just ridiculous that he's the best director of the year, according to the Golden Globes.
Did Timothy Chardonnay win for A Complete Unknown?
No, that has yet to happen. Those awards have yet to be given out. But he's here looking quite slender. If you turn sideways, you can't see him. And already our Nikki Glaser made fun of his beautiful hair on his upper lip.
Well,
referring
there was
to the mustache he's driving around.
About 10 years ago, there was a very funny movie starring Michael Cera. And he had a an alternate personality named Francois in this movie about 10 years ago. And Francois had a mustache that looked exactly like Timothy Chardonnay's, and it was a joke. And I don't know why Timmy is wearing this. No makeup department is doing him any favors. If he needs that mustache for a role, they should just do it in makeup because he looks stupid.
Well, I guess he's trying to be as authentic as possible. You know, these method actors.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, there's that great story about method acting where you've got Sir Laurence Olivier is there on Marathon Man, and Dustin Hoffman comes in looking like an unmade bed because he wanted to be in the mood of the scene. And Olivier is just sitting there perfectly manicured and just leans over to him and says, "Why don't you just act?"
It's great observation. Was there anything else at the Golden Globes that caught your attention, Mateus? Boom, boom in Hollywood?
No, it's moving pretty quickly. It's moving pretty quickly, and every time Nikki Glaser comes out, she has a different outfit. It's sort of a running gag. But you know how these award ceremonies go. There's booze on the table, but a few crackers, because nobody eats in Hollywood.
I appreciate you being with us tonight. Live from Hollywood, Mateus Boom Boom in Hollywood with an update live from the Golden Globes. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Joy has me as its place.
So how come you never told me you dated women?
I don't know. It never came up.
Well, you found plenty of opportunities to tell me about Howard.
It's different.
So what, you're like gay or something?
You find that so hard to believe?
Well, yeah, I mean, you just look really straight.
And what does straight look like?
Not gay.
Well, I'm not gay. I'm bisexual.
Same thing.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Illuminati infiltrators, the people of Walmart, later, Sterling Every Damn Night.
Hi, I'm retired police detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, I share my thoughts on the horrific terrorist attack in New Orleans on New Year's Eve. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line.
Sterling Every Damn Night, inspired by flashers.
Women need to flash their men as much as possible. Coming out of the bathroom, flash them. Walking through the living room, flash them. Pulling out of the driveway, flash them. Mowing the lawn, flash them. Just flash them.
Feel the dough. Eat the dough, JB Bakery, Selena and Steve, Sterling Every Damn Night.
All right, there's Steven and Selena, at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Do you have snow?
No snow yet, but everybody's anxious and willing and waiting for this amazing snowstorm that's about to happen. Who knows? I don't know, Walter. We'll see what happens.
What's the prediction for Burlington, New Jersey?
Burlington, New Jersey, you need about 1 to 2 dozen donuts to stock up for the snowstorm. Mm. And, you know, if you're going to be trapped in your house, you need about 1 to 2 dozen donuts and maybe a cake, too.
Is there rumor that the schools are going to be closed tomorrow?
I think so. I think they're going to, you know, give everybody off. It's like that freak storm that they want to just, you know, take the free day. They just want a free day. Stay home and be warm and not be in the cold and probably not shovel snow either.
Yeah, but they've had about 10 free days, so I suspect they're equally itchy to get out of the house.
We'll see. Yeah, right? We'll see what happens. I had a good weekend. Everybody was stocking up on bread and, you know, plenty of pastries and cookies and hoping for the, you know, the free day off.
Yeah.
I don't know if government pays them for that, do they?
Mm. Now, Selena, you're done with school. You're looking into the abyss of adulthood. What exactly are you planning to do now with your life?
So I think everybody's asking me that. And, I mean, I'm asking myself that every day. And usually when people ask me that, I don't really have an answer for them.
Yeah.
I definitely want to, you know, figure out what I'm going to do as far as education, maybe do some work experience. I'd like to try to do a couple of internships maybe before I wrap up school and maybe over the summer as well, and then either turn one of those into a job or go back to school for, you know, some further education. But I'm not really sure. Other than education and work, I'd like to maybe work on some other habits and different hobbies that I can have going into adulthood, just do some new things.
But I thought you were done with school.
So no, not until May, officially.
Oh, you don't graduate till May?
Unfortunately, yes.
What happens now? I thought your coursework was done.
I mean, so it's basically done. It was done for that semester. And it's credit-wise, I am almost done. I really only need like 2 or 3 more classes as far as credits, but I am taking a full course load because of financial aid. So I am taking 4 classes, but 3 of them are dance classes for electives, so only one of them is a real serious class.
This sounds frighteningly familiar. With the trick with financial aid is you have to take a full course load to get it, and it's hard to get it to cover summer or part-time course loads, and which is insane. And I have a 22-year-old daughter who's taking a surprising number of dance classes, Selena.
That's funny. Yes. I obviously am Selena Ballerina, so it's a good elective for me just to, you know, do some dance. But, I mean, I do have to take 12 credits to get any of my financial aid.
Right.
So that's a little unfortunate, but here we are.
Yeah. All right. Now, Stephen, what's the recipe you've got for us tonight? JB Bakery is in Burlington, New Jersey. It's a great bakery. It is not a sponsor. These are our friends. I respect their business. And every week, Stephen the baker comes up with a recipe that he shares. The way you get the recipe is just drop me a note, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Stephen, what is the recipe tonight?
Okay, Walter, this is for people that are looking to have a little bit of good luck for this year, and let's congratulate Selena because she's got straight A's again. So I don't think she needs any good luck for her semester this coming year, but let's just congratulate her on that. And the recipe that I have, if you know, people are looking to start their new year off right and they want to have you know, they follow traditions and want something special, this is a good recipe to have. Honey glazed cornbread nuggets. Honey glazed cornbread nuggets. And this is a fun recipe to make, and it'll be amazing to do when you're home in the snow. Hopefully you have everything in the kitchen to make these. It's pretty simple. And what's cool about this is that it looks like little golden nuggets, like little pieces of gold. So this represents, this is nice to put on your as a snack or on your dinner plate for the new year, and it represents gold. And it's like, okay, if we're going to have this for our tradition, then let's, you know, hope for prosperity and have plenty of money to spend all year round. So the cornbread looks like a golden nugget. It's got a nice glaze on it. It's very simple to make with a cornmeal and buttermilk and honey and eggs. And what I like to do is a little tip, try to get some cream corn, some home-style cream corn, and mix that in with his cornbread. That's my little baking tip.
Yeah, but nobody has buttermilk at home. What if you don't have buttermilk at home and you're snowed in?
Selena's got a good alternative for that. Go ahead, Selena.
Yeah, so growing up, we never really had it just available in the fridge. So what you can do is just take the same amount of milk that you're using for the recipe, just regular milk, and add a squeeze of lemon, and then start that, do that first, and let that sit while you get everything else ready, or a little bit of vinegar is fine as well. And if you just let the milk and the vinegar or lemon sit while you prepare everything else, it'll curdle a little bit, and it'll give that buttermilk flavor without having to go to the grocery store.
Steve and Selena, great recipe, I hope. If you'd like it, send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, and I will be happy to send you the JB Bakery. What is this again? The golden what?
Honey-glazed cornbread nuggets.
Honey-glazed cornbread nuggets.
And the reason why they're like nuggets is because we bake it inside of the cupcake pan.
I got that. We got it. And it sounds like something that would be terrific to make the effort on, especially if you're snowed in. And I thank you, Selena, and I thank you, Stephen.
Happy
JB
New Year.
Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Happy New Year to you, my friends. It is 59 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. Coming up in 7 minutes, you're going to have an update from Dr. Dave Iser, who will give you an update on the snow situation. And I want to know your snow situation at 855-839-1210. Call in live. Let me know the snow you see, Sterling, every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
All right, it's 6 minutes past the hour, 6 minutes past the hour. Constant updates on weather. Kansas City hit the worst. Dr. Dave Iser.
Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
It's a live radio show every damn Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday. Do you realize that I have been doing this for 11 years? I have learned nothing. The show is no better than it was 11 years ago, and yet you're still here. In your 18-wheeler, 4-wheeler, driving through the hell of this weather that I hope doesn't affect you. I hope it ain't bad, but if you hit a bad spot, especially in the Midwest, especially near Kansas City, Overland Park, call me, 855-839-1210. We heard from Blaine, who's driving and controlling 3 different tow trucks throughout the area. Was supposed to hit 50 different locations. Probably says it'll be so bad it'll be hitting maybe 15, and the ice is horrendous. That's who we are. That's who we get to be. I'm glad it's Sunday night. I'm glad it's not Monday morning. Hopefully, by morning, it will largely have gone away. One of the things that's always fun on New Year's Eve is the cheesy thing that ABC, NBC, and CBS do is when they show us the ball drop. They go to shots of Sydney, Australia, and London, and we see Big Ben with fireworks and the Sydney Bridge with fireworks. And I'm like, when did they shoot that? And when did we're supposed to buy that's a live feed from Sydney, Australia? I don't think so. I think in the olden days, they just showed canned film of the bridge with fireworks because there was no way. One of the most amazing things I am told to experience is New Year's in Rome. A few years ago, right before I got married, I went to Rome for 2 weeks because I wanted to experience Christmas in Rome. That was I'm like, where would the best place to be in the world on Christmas Day? I was single. I had a few bucks. I know, I'll go to Rome. Because I assumed that the Christmas near the Vatican would be the most spectacular. What surprised me was that, you won't believe this, the people of Rome, they think it's a religious holiday. I figured the decorations in Rome would be spectacular for Christmas. Everything would be decked out and Christmas Day would be festive. Oh, no, no, no. Christmas Day in Rome is locked down. Nothing is opened. There are no decorations. There are no noisemakers. Not one shop. No place to get a cup of coffee. Nothing. And the Vatican itself, the Pope's Mass, that takes place on Christmas Eve. On Christmas Day, I don't believe there is any Mass in the Vatican. But I'm told that New Year's Eve in Rome is spectacular, because all of the energy that you and I use up on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve for that celebration, all of that is put into New Year's Eve. Instead of Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve is it. But I didn't know that. While I was in Rome as a single man, a couple days before Christmas, I met Danielle. Danielle was different than the girls I grew up with in Jersey, because the girls I grew up with in Jersey were named things like Karen and Diane and Carol. There were no Danielles in my high school. There were no Gabrielles in my high school. Turns out that Danielle was staying in the same hotel with her parents. And Danielle was about 28, 29. And what I did not know, because again, I'm not really as smart as I should be on many of these social issues. What I didn't realize was that a woman staying in a hotel with her parents, you know, a woman over 21, staying in a hotel with her parents, is very anxious to get far away from her parents as soon as possible and to experience wherever they are, preferably with a nice man. And if she's lesbo, a nice woman. But in this case, Danielle was interested in a nice man. Danielle was, you ready for this? Again, this wasn't anything I experienced in New Jersey. Danielle was from Switzerland. Blonde, blue-green eye, tall, attractive, sensibly dressed, said and did nothing crazy. I immediately liked her. A couple days before Christmas, a couple days before New Year's, we're walking around the Spanish Steps in Rome, going up and down the shopping venues, went into one of those places where they serve croissants that are actual croissants, not au bon pain croissants, not Panera bread croissants. No, these were real Italian pastry and espresso doppio, a double espresso. Mispronounce it and you'll get two beers. That happened to me more than once. And we were enjoying each other's company. I was enjoying talking to her. I was not on the make. I was in a foreign country. Who knows what sort of rules apply? Well, things progressed pretty quickly with Danielle. And she made a suggestion which was stunning. And I'll tell you what it was in just a second. But the other thing about my time in Rome is I had gone there on mileage. I used to travel 20 weeks a year for business. I had a first class seat on a Delta 747 nonstop to Rome and back. And I had the boarding pass. The boarding pass going there said 1B. Now, on a 747, a 1B is like you have your own loft in Soho. And then I had the return ticket, which also said 1B. Now, I'm an aisle kind of guy. I need to sit on the aisle. And Danielle made a very interesting proposition to me. And I'll share it with you. Coming up in just seconds, I'm Walter M. Sterling. And this is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Now, John! Lesbians in space. Ooh, 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 ooh.
women's night. That's what they do now. If there's going to be women comics, they're going to have to throw in one lesbian or at least the bisexual. She's probably later. I'm just saying.
Your heart.
Walmart.
Sterling Shop.
Going the rounds on social media, Reddit, TikTok, other platforms, is a video that alleges your associate at Walmart could be a member of the Illuminati, a part of a one world order ready to take over the United States. Walmart, of course, the blue vested heroes, those associates, they do so many things for us on a daily basis. They fill our orders, they smile at us, they grunt at us. They're amazing. So if you've had a neighborhood Walmart recently closed down for a day or two, they claim it's plumbing issues or something like that, don't buy it. According to this shock video, tunnels are being built to control our society, all directly from the Walmart. Central control, by the way, is the hallmark of any particular tyranny. Decentralization is always the best. You look at tyrannical regimes all over the world. They have one thing in common. They want to center everything in one place. Healthcare, food, housing, clothing, everything from one place. And the reason why they want to do this, the Illuminati is desperate to have complete control. It's all about control. Being handed a pound of rice and some dehydrated fish is a big win for a lot of people in this world. They're happy with their government. They love them for it. This TikTok video, pretty damning. If you haven't seen it, just Google her up. You can find it online and on the Reddit, Discord, whatever platform you like, you'll be able to find this out. I bet it's on Twitch. I, though, believe that your Walmart associate has only one purpose in life, to serve us, the wonderful customer. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired police detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, I share my thoughts on the horrific terrorist attack in New Orleans on New Year's Eve. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ben from Lost.
When did you start sleeping with a bottle of scotch by the bed?
When the nightmares started.
All right, I want an update on your weather conditions. It's a live radio show. It's a great service. You can help other people. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. In Kansas City, welcome to Sterling every damn night. Hello, Kansas City.
Hi, this is Jean McGuire reporting from the frozen Yukon. We've got about a foot of snow here. We're not used to this.
Which town are you in?
Overland Park, Kansas.
Overland Park.
Suburb of Kansas City. Uh-huh.
Yes, yes, I know. It's the nice suburb of Kansas City, Overland Park. Welcome to Sterling every damn night. Are you on a speakerphone?
Well, I'm on a cell phone, and I don't have the radio on.
But do you have the speaker on the cell phone?
Kind of, yes.
Yeah, don't do that. There's yes or no. Just don't do that. Just talk into the phone.
Okay, we're done.
There you go.
Okay,
now
speaker
we
off.
Now we can hear you. Thank you very much. Nobody told you that, huh? All right, now listen. Tell me exactly how much snow you have, how long it's been going.
They're saying 10 to 12 inches by now. I think it has stopped, but I've been home since 2 o'clock yesterday watching football. And, of course, wouldn't you know, Green Bay, New York, Denver, we're all dry. And we're getting the snow here instead of Buffalo or someplace like that. So, yeah, I've just been watching football.
When is this snow supposed to stop?
Tonight about midnight, but I think it stopped here. Everything is frozen outside. I've been talking on the phone with my neighbors. One of them tried to get out, and I said, don't go, because we got an emergency alert from, it was either the state or the county, right. I'm not sure.
Right.
But they said, stay off the roads. Don't go anywhere.
No, I appreciate that, and I appreciate how you want to help your friends and neighbors, and thank you very much for listening and calling into Sterling every damn night. My phone number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. You get to help your friends and neighbors. You're driving an 18-wheeler, you're driving a 4-wheeler. I want to know what you see out the window, how bad the situation is. It's a live radio show. Nothing else is live. It's the minimum. It should be the bare minimum of every radio station in America, but they're not. All right, it's 26 past the hour with Walter Sterling. I went to Rome right before, about 20 years ago. And while in Rome on Christmas week, I met this woman named Danielle. And we were enjoying each other in conversation, just like in conversation. And it was Christmas week, and my plan was to leave on New Year's Eve. I didn't want to be in Rome alone on New Year's Eve, and I didn't realize it was different than ours. It's very different than our New Year's Eve. It's completely different than our New Year's Eve. And my friend, Danielle, who is from Switzerland and European, knew what New Year's Eve was in Rome. I did not. It turns out the New Year's Eve in Rome is you're going to have sex. Doesn't matter who you are, who you're going to have sex. It is bacchanal. It is an orgy of excitement in Rome on New Year's Eve. Everybody's insane. It is the biggest celebration of the year because they take all the energy that you and I would use on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day and put it into New Year's Eve with the excitement of New Year's Eve. Rome, go figure this, is actually a religious holiday on Christmas. It is dead quiet. Everything's shut. Nothing's going on. Nothing on Christmas Eve. It's a serious Catholic holiday. Of course it is. But I didn't think. I wasn't thinking. So Danielle looks at me and she says, now are you going to stay here on New Year's Eve? And I said, no, I'm leaving New Year's Eve. And I'm thinking I have a boarding pass on a 747 that says 1B. And I'm all paranoid about losing the best seat in the world. And when you travel 20 weeks a year, it takes on a whole different level of importance. And I'm like, I'm not risking the 1B. I wasn't risking calling a travel agent and getting it changed and the holidays. Who knew I might not be able to go back till March? I didn't know. And I'm not sitting in a crappy seat. And to me, a crappy seat is at a window. So I wasn't going to do that. But Danielle looks at me and she says, stay, as in you will have sex. You will have a good time. Stay. And I'm like, I don't know. Tell me tomorrow. I think about it. I think about it. My paranoia grows. And Danielle was a very nice lady, but it was New Year's Eve. Probably a sure thing. Pretty, blonde, Swiss. I didn't know any Swiss. I'm from Jersey. We didn't know any Swiss people. We didn't know any Swedes. We didn't know any blondes. There wasn't one blonde in my high school in Jersey. Not one blonde. They were all Carol and Barbara. Carol and Barbara. And, they were Italian and Jewish and Irish. There were no blondes in my high school. That's it. And there was no nonsense. I certainly wasn't going to be having any sex anytime soon. But what did I do? What would you do? You have a sure thing. Blonde Swiss Danielle. I-E-L-L-E. What would you do? On New Year's Eve, Danielle was in Rome, and I was on a jetway, on my way home, in seat 1B. That sums up my sexual adventuresomeness. The risk of losing 1B versus a sure thing with a beautiful Swiss woman. Gee, I don't know. What was I going to do? I'm Walter M. Sterling. I got an email. It's WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. And a spectacular website, Walter Sterling Show. Who are you? Oh, yeah. This is Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Steve Harvey.
Okay, you want truth? This is why men lie. Because we are afraid of your reaction to the truth.
All news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's all news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night.
All right, 37 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling every damn Sunday, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. If you're listening to Sterling every damn Sunday on a station that isn't airing a three-hour show, you're being cheated and fraud is being committed. You have a right to hear all 3 hours. I'm not going to go on bloviating about this, but I promise that whatever is blocking an hour is crap. You deserve all 3 hours of my crap. Andrea, welcome to 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
Hey. You're on the air.
So,
and
I am
wait, stop. Hold on. Were you listening on hold, or did I hear a radio in the background?
Nope, there was a radio in the background. It was yours, but I don't believe it's been playing for 5 minutes or so. I turned it off.
Okay, go ahead, Andrea. Where are you?
I am in Platte City, Missouri. It's about 5 miles north of the Kansas City airport.
And what's the weather?
It just actually stopped snowing, and it's completely clear for the first time since yesterday when it started.
And how much snow do you have?
We have about 15 to 18 inches just in the your back front yard alone.
Can you open the back door? Can the dog go out?
Yes, we have a sliding door, so thankfully yes, but we've had to clear a space to kind of get in and out. And I have a dog that's knee-high, about 100 pounds, and it's over halfway up her.
And how does she react to this snow?
Oh, she loves it. It's like her beach weather. She's a husky mix, and she just wants to roll and play and lay in it.
That's the best thing about a husky. This is their weather. They're like, I've been waiting for this since July.
Pretty much.
Now, have you been driving at all, or have you been staying in the house since yesterday?
Yesterday, I'm actually a gig worker, and I do delivery service for a couple of different companies, and I drove yesterday till about 11 o'clock last night. And it started about 2, and when the evening hit is when it got really bad, and cars started sliding off in the middle of the roads and car accidents and such and so forth. And I believe they shut down all 29 last night about 7 to 8 p.m.
Is 29 still closed?
It is, from a little bit downtown towards all the way up to Rockport, Nebraska, probably another 100 miles northwest.
It's a major snow. Now, you're a gig delivery person. What kind of car do you drive?
I'm currently driving a 2011 Ford Escape. It does not have all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, but it was not that bad getting around, as long as you just took it slow.
Yeah, and as long as you got good tires, right?
Right, yeah, of course, yes. You have to have good tires.
Now, the most important question, Andrea, is who tips better, the rich people or the poor people?
I would definitely say the less than median wage, because they're more appreciative for sure.
It's an absolute fact, isn't it? Any kid delivering newspapers, any kid who does lawns or shovels snow will tell you that if it's a middle-class neighborhood, a not-so-great neighborhood, they will tip better. You go to the big fancy mansions, good luck getting that tip.
True story.
I appreciate you listening to my show. I really do. Thank you very much, and thanks for calling in to Sterling every damn Sunday. The phone number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. The first law of radio that astonishingly few people on the radio seem to remember if it's snowing outside, talk about the snow. You'd be amazed at how many continue to just wants to yell at the Democrats. I think the Democrats can be passed a few years without being yelled at, and we can just talk about the snow. Here are the things that I believe supersede any yelling at the Democrats. Are you ready? Alan first, are you ready? Water in the basement. If I wake up in the morning, open the basement door or the cellar door, depending on where you live, and there's water on that floor, all other thoughts will be blotted out of my brain, and I will be focused on the water on the floor. Kid wakes up with fever. 9-year-old has a fever. That will overwhelm anything that happens in Congress today. There could be nothing more important than my baby having a fever. That's what we're going to do today, is manage that fever. See if anything seems crazy here. I get in the car, turn it on, check engine light goes on. Oh my gosh, whatever was going to happen in Congress today does not come close to the horror of the check engine light, especially if it's time to get it inspected. We're not, that car isn't going to pass if you have the check, any light on that dash, you're not going to pass this inspect. Don't even come in here if it's, you know the story, you know the drill. Voicemail from your employer last night. You wake up, you're starting to get ready for work, and you check your voicemail, and 12 hours ago, you got a message from your boss. Hey, listen, something's come up. Call me. And it's 12 hours later. This will completely overwhelm anything Joe Biden did yesterday, giving Hillary Clinton a Congressional Medal of Honor. What? Or was it a Presidential Medal of Honor? What? What? Oh, there are more things. You start the dryer, it doesn't work. You start the dishwasher, it doesn't work. Snow outside will supersede all other activities today. And yet, when I tune up and down the dial, who's talking about the snow? Me. Who else is talking about the snow right now? Who else? What other station's talking about the snow? Nobody. Nobody. They're talking about Bitcoin, your pension, Mr. Annuities, and you. Yes, you know, tax-free, your Roth IRAs are available. Shut up. If I had any money for a Roth IRA, do you think I'd be sitting here? Would you be sitting there? Would our friend the gig worker, Andrea, in Kansas City, would she be worried about any of this? No. She'd be in Boca. She'd be in Boca. But you and I don't have those luxuries. You and I get to... we get to work. We don't get participation trophies. We don't get participation trophies. We get paychecks. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Hey, Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about the horrific terrorist attack on New Orleans on New Year's Eve. So like everyone else, I woke up the next morning and I saw that a crazed lunatic drove through the French Quarter at 3-something a.m., mowed down at least 35 people, killing 14 others. If that wasn't bad enough, he jumps out of the car and start shooting it out with the police, which thank God they were able to put him down. The guy was dressed in fatigues and had an ISIS flag tied to the back of his truck. In addition to that, he had all these explosive devices in his truck and supposedly they were placed along that neighborhood. So I started going on X and trying to find out more information, where I saw a press conference where an FBI spokesperson said that it was an incident, not a terrorist attack, and the person giving me this information had a nose ring. But it got worse. Then I watched the chief of police from the New Orleans Police Department, who's about 80 years old, whose hat didn't fit her head, and she looked like Granny Clampett from the Beverly Hillbillies, explaining how she didn't know that they had these metal barriers that would come in and out of the ground that would have stopped the vehicle from being in that part of town. The whole thing reeks of incompetence. Now, it brought me back some 25 years ago to 9/11 when I was an NYPD cop. I have my issues with the department, but I'll say this about the NYPD. If there's one thing they got right after 9/11, it was terrorism. And after 9/11, they took detectives, guys in plainclothes units, they put us in uniform, and we were everywhere. Times Square, Penn Station, Madison Square Garden, little-known subway stops along the way. We were out there. There was a heavy police presence. And to this day, New Year's Eve at Times Square, there's anywhere between 5 and 10,000 NYPD cops. They don't want to hear it. You're not getting the day off. So to leave a place like the French Quarter, that thinly manned, to me, is unfathomable. In the waning hours after the terrorist attack, cyber sleuths started posting photos and sharing information, which led the New Orleans Police Department and the FBI to claim that, yes, this was a terrorist attack some many hours after the incident. Several hours later, 1,000 miles away in Las Vegas, a Tesla truck explodes in front of a Trump-owned hotel. If there's one thing 20 years in law enforcement has taught me, it's don't believe in coincidences. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Presumption and Dysfunction.
Sterling Every Damn Night, inspired by women's studies.
You're cranky because you need to get laid.
Oh, my gosh, look at this. I have to do things for my 12-year-old tomorrow. My 12-year-old is in sixth grade. She has apraxia and autism. She is, in fact, a challenged and special kid. I can't stand it when they call these kids special needs kids. My daughter has no special needs. She needs to have friends, a tremendous number of hours playing Roblox and Minecraft. And when she plays Minecraft and Roblox, it reminds me of with her older sisters. Her older sisters are now, what are they? I don't know. I don't even know who they are. No, they're 19 or 22. But when they were 13 and 12, they played Club Penguin. I don't know if you ever encountered Club Penguin with your 12 and 13-year-olds, but other fathers have admitted this to me. And when I mentioned it to another dad when they were 12 and 13, I was stunned how many did it. Club Penguin was a fun online video game. And what you did is you played different games with the penguins to catch fish. There were many different ways to catch fish. The easiest was the fishing game. And it was ice fishing with an animated character. And you could catch fish pretty good. The other games were a little more complicated. You tried to catch as many fish as you can, get as many points as you can to furnish your igloo. The goal was to build an igloo for your penguin. And you could win furniture, carpeting, fancy lights, clothing, earmuffs, all sorts of cool things for the penguin. And I'd see my kids playing this, Club Penguin, gathering points and fish and decorating their igloo and getting another igloo and a vacation igloo. It's a very interesting game for 10-year-olds. I wasn't 10, but I was fascinated by it. Then I'd go to work. I'd sit at my desk and I'm like, well, maybe I could win more fish. Maybe I could get my kids extra fish and extra points. And then at work, I'd start playing Club Penguin at my desk at work. And I was a very big media consultant. I was giving radio and TV stations around the world, sage advice while playing Club Penguin. I mentioned this to another dad in the schoolyard. At their public school, don't give me any crap, they didn't go to private school. At their public school, and son of a gun, they'd say, oh yeah, I do that too. Dad after dad confessed to playing video games to get points for their kids while they were at work. Well, now I'm going to try to learn how to play Roblox, because I've heard enough about Roblox, and I've heard enough about Minecraft. My 22-year-old was sitting there in the living room today. She's home from college at the Newhouse School at Syracuse University, where she better have a TV career. Because, you know, I can't do this forever. I can't talk to you forever every Sunday night. I need her to have a big TV career and say, you know, Dad, we're going to buy you a mansion in Boca. Okay, let's go. Well, I said, are you working on that project that you need to get done for the Newhouse School at Syracuse University? I'm working on Minecraft right now, and I got a very rare puppy. You what? Yeah, the only place you can get this puppy is in this house. And I got the house, and I was able to get the puppy to come outside. And this 22-year-old who's majoring in communications at the Newhouse School at Syracuse University is playing Minecraft. And she's been playing Minecraft all week. Meanwhile, she has papers due. I don't want her flunking out. I don't want to pay for another semester of her going to the Newhouse School. She could be a neurosurgeon for what I'm paying. She was playing Minecraft. The other one plays Minecraft. The 12-year-old plays Roblox, doesn't play Club Penguin. I'm like, why aren't they playing Club Penguin? Oh, Disney bought it. Yeah, and they ruined it. How did they ruin it? Tell me if this isn't the wokest stupidity you've ever heard. The way you used to play the game was you try to catch as many fish as you could and then win decorations for your igloo. It was pretty much like that. Well, when Disney bought it, well, that was too much accountability. That wasn't fair. Now you could buy fish. Once Disney got it, you could buy fish. You could pay for the fish. You could get as many fish as your parents would pay for. Well, it ended the competition. It ended the game. You didn't need any skill. You just needed quarters. You needed dollars. That's what it became. And Disney finally shut it down because they found out at Club Penguin that people actually do like to compete. They like to earn their fish. They like to be able to point to their igloos and say, yes, I got enough fish to get this carpet and this fancy chandelier and this bedding, and I earned it. Instead of daddy giving you money, mommy giving you money to buy as much fish as you want. This is a lesson that Disney learned too late. Club Penguin was ruined. It was a simple game made by two nutcases. That it was a lot of fun, and then Disney bought it and ruined it. This happens in big companies. I've heard. Remember MySpace? Yeah, it was like that. What they do? How did they screw that up? I don't remember. All right, I have an email. It's waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. And you can get our new recipe for the golden cornbread or whatever JB said. And a website, waltersterlingshow.com. And coming up, endless amounts of information about UFOs from Stephen Greer. Stephen Greer has announced that the UFOs will be revealed this year. And Dave Scott, our Canadian, where their prime minister is about to resign, will give us an update on all things UFO coming up in just seconds. And in 6 minutes, Dr. Dave Iser, meteorologist, will have weather for you and me. Isn't this fun? A live radio show on Sunday night, Sterling every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
I want to know what the weather is like where you are. Give us an update, 855-839-1210. Are you staring at snow? 855-839-1210. Now, Dr. Dave.
Sterling every night, lost in space. Mission control, Dave Scott. Dave
Scott. Mr. Scott, rumor has it that you're Prime Minister is going to resign tomorrow.
Oh, Walter, you have no idea how happy I am. In fact,
I put my prayer of protest on my Facebook earlier today, just a simple Canadian flag that we are coming back. And finally, the disgrace of Canada, our worst prime minister in the history of this country, is hopefully within the next day to 3 days going to be no more. And finally, Canadians will be able to live again once we go to an election.
Dave Scott lives in Canada. He's an expert on UFOs, metaphysics, Bigfoot, and Canadian politics. Now, I find the timing interesting because he's been hated for a very long time. Why do you think he's announcing it now?
Well, I mean, realistically, his party, when he got elected 9 years ago, had a 70% approval rating, which at the time in Canadian politics was really unheard of. And now his party is about to lose unofficial party status, where his own members of parliament are telling him that we're out of here. We're leaving. You know, you're a disgrace to the country. I mean, you have to think about it. Canada has the third largest oil in the world, okay? The right. world, only behind the Saudis and Venezuela.
Right.
And yet we have put a cap on our oil and are importing oil from OPEC in order to use oil and gas in Canada. Does that make sense?
No, that sounds kind of wacky. And you're number one in the world in timber.
Absolutely, but we're not allowed to cut down trees because of that. Here's the statistic. He wanted to jump the carbon tax 61 cents a liter on gas. So I live, the gas pipelines, okay, are about 3 miles behind me. You are paying approximately $2 to $3, maybe $4 a gallon. I am paying, with the oil and gas going right beside me here, I am paying about $8 to $10 a gallon.
What? What? Really?
Yes. 100% serious. We make this stuff, Walt. We make it. Okay, add to the fact that he is very unprofessional. He ripped into the American public for electing Donald Trump, okay, which no other elected official should be doing with an ally.
Right.
He has brought racism, sexism, and religious hatred across the country. They've allowed killers and murderers and thieves to walk away without any type of jail time. Our crime is up over 300% in 9 years.
And he screwed up his marriage.
We have 4.1 illegal aliens running around Canada, half of which we have no record of in a failed immigration plan. It is horrific up here.
Because
I had one politician that I know here personally talk to me about it. He goes, "How you doing, Dave?" I said, "You know, I said, when I left radio full time, I said, I went to a poker table one time and I was the lowest paid, the only one with a college education, and I was the lowest paid. And I said, I thought if I ever got to where my buddies were salary-wise, I'd be okay. I'd be able to afford a house, a nice car, a vacation or two every year. And now that I got to that salary, I'm still living paycheck to paycheck because of taxes. If you make $100,000 a year in Canada, after taxes on everything, so you pay your federal income tax, your provincial income tax, your municipal income taxes, and then when you tax your food, your gas, and everything, if you make $100,000 a year in Canada, your average is going to be $28,000 a year in your bank. That's before you buy anything. You take the family out for dinner, you buy groceries, you're left with $28,000.
I'm amazed that you have an immigration problem, because there's no greater hell for me than to go to Canada. There's no harder country to get into. Ireland, Italy, come on in. They don't even look at your passport. Oh, my gosh, you go to Canada. Now, I know it's worse when you try to come into the U.S.
Well, you know what? I understand why. Okay. I'm somebody, I've never had a criminal record. I've never been stopped at the border. Actually, I got stopped once. It was last year. And the person says to me, where are you going? I said, Nebraska. He said, what are you going there for? I said, I'm going for a Bigfoot conference. The lady says to me, you believe in that? She goes, you believe in that? I said, yes. I said, I searched for Sasquatch in BC. She goes, you're not even being serious right now. I said, would you like to see photos of the footprints I've found? She goes, absolutely. And she goes, oh, my God, mm-hmm. when I showed her the footprints that I took pictures of.
Wouldn't you kill to see what's on their screen?
Oh, I can imagine.
I would love to see what's on that screen. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I do know this, Walter.
Yes.
And this is kind of cool. I know there is at least a one-page dossier file of me and my radio show in the Pentagon. And I also know that when I talk UFOs, I have a minimum of 6 agents listening to my show at the Pentagon from all branches, from the FBI to the CIA, the NSA, the NRO, the DIA. I have been told by 3 different sources that I have in Washington, D.C. about that because they have an interest in knowing and keeping up to date with what people are talking about in regards to UFOs / UAP. So I'm very interested in that. And that's kind of exciting for me.
Do you ever hear from them?
No. I wish I did.
Yeah, I wish you did too, because that'd be many hours of quality programming. Now, who's this who's this Steve Greer guy?
Dr. Stephen Greer. G-R-E-E-R. He is a guy who, for the last 30 years, he's a former medical doctor who got involved with the UFO world, had his own experiences, started investigating, and eventually built up a bunch of sources. Now, there's a lot of people in the UFO world who think he's an absolute kook and a joke, and nothing he says ever comes to fruition. But there are other people who believe that he does have amazing sources within the government, basically saying that, you know, giving him information on what is happening. We do know that he has attended hearings. We do know that he has briefed a president or two. And, you know, but a lot of it is just conjecture on his part, because he's one of these people who in one sense of the area will say that he's bartering hard in Washington, D.C. for disclosure of UFOs and alien presence on Earth. But on the next breath, he has all of these camps every year where he charges up to $3,500 for a weekend to do what they call CE5, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, which is ET contact. And people claim that they have had high success with that. Regarding it. And, you know, I tried getting him on my show one time, and he had a list of about 10 items that he required to appear on my show, and even asked me how much I was going to pay him for an appearance on Spaced Out Radio. And I said, I gave him everything. I gave him my stats. I gave him my age categories of people, because I have all of those. You have all of them in radio, too. But the two things I wouldn't give him was I wouldn't pay him for an interview, because that's not how journalism works, number one. And number two, I would not provide him with a list of questions that I would be asking him over the time that I interviewed him. Now, to me as a journalist, that tells me there's something shady and nefarious going on, and I shouldn't trust that person. But there are hundreds of thousands of people who believe in his word and follow his every word.
All right, this is Dave Scott. He's our friend in Canada. He hosts a show called Spaced Out Radio that you can see on YouTube. And he has an update for us that he will share with you and me coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Exotic dancers are a lot like you and me. Frequently, when they're not doing sex work, they're looking for love. And love can happen with a client
of a gentleman's club. So I'm going to give you my tips for dating a dancer. Check for drug problems. Sadly, many of our dancers have some sort of a drug problem. Does your dancer have children? If your dancer has children and you want to date her and she wants to date you, okay, let's talk about a few things. How many kids does she have and how many different fathers? You give a little warning here if you've never learned about this ploy. There are women out there who will go and pursue a man who, especially if he doesn't have children, he has a pretty good income. So they can go and get income based on child support. Dancers see hundreds of men a week and they know your income. You're showing up on a regular basis to that club, and let's face it, you have a lot of money. Maybe you have a very nice watch. Maybe you're very well dressed. Maybe you wear an ascot. I'm going to tell you, they know your income. Now, if this exotic dancer has two kids by two different guys, she may want to have a third child with you so she can get some sweet child support, especially if you don't have other children. Perfect example of predatory strippers includes one Hunter Biden, the son of the U.S. president. Hunter Biden was spending a lot of time in strip clubs and apparently was squiring ladies in the champagne room, which usually is a no-no, but if your daddy's the vice president or the president, thumbs up. He impregnated an exotic dancer. Bought it, and of course DNA came back, and you are the father. Maury was smiling from wherever he is, hanging out with Connie Chung. That's what will happen to you if you're not careful. So if you're a high income gentleman who likes going to the club, dating a dancer can have problems. But let's face it, finding love in 2025, it's a difficult thing. Look for the warning signs. And always wear a prophylactic. A prophylactic, everybody. And dating a dancer is even better if you've had a vasectomy. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
You're a real crumb bum.
All right, 25 past the hour with the very patient Dave Scott in Canada. Thank you for indulging me, Dave. Please give us an update on all things UFO. He's our expert.
Well, a lot of things are coming out about this Cybertruck bomber at Trump Hotel in Las Vegas, where Matthew Libelsberger had apparently sent emails to a couple of veterans, including Sean Ryan, host of the extremely popular Sean Ryan podcast on YouTube and other podcast networks. And apparently in this manifesto that he mentioned, not only was he a Green Beret saying this, that what he was doing was out of sound mind, that he was being followed by many others, but right at the bottom of his manifesto, where he, after he talks about China and the United States both having anti-gravitic energy platforms, he mentions that he has also been a part of the UAP conversation, unidentified aerial phenomena. He even mentions the drones. Now, unfortunately, due to his death because of this explosion in a Cybertruck, many people believe that this is a secret we're not going to know much about. But the UFO community is trying to figure out what exactly he knew about it. Now, there is a confirmation from the FBI, that email that was sent to Sean Ryan and other people within the ex-military community who are now social media influencers, they have confirmed that email was real and did come from his secretive Proton Mail account. But there is some strangeness because the UFO community doesn't know what he did with the UAP scenario, and they're trying to figure out why a Green Beret would have it. But lo and behold, you know, we look at others like David Grush, the whistleblower who came out saying that we have alien and UFO technology already right now. We are trying to figure out what that is. He also, Libelsberger, that is, put out a picture of where these drones are being carried out from. And lo and behold, it is at Groom Lake. Where is Groom Lake? Right in the middle of Area 51.
And what's your hunch?
Oh, goodness. That's the thing I've been trying to figure out. You know, the one thing about the UFO community, I'll answer it this way, is we're used to getting scraps. We're used to getting the breadcrumbs that all the rats and mice feed on, because that's what all we have to go by. Now, the fact that he mentioned the UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena, it does lead me to believe that maybe, just maybe, you know, a lot of these Green Berets, once they get close to retirement or once they get high enough within their ranks and their positions, they do go on secret missions where they do have to be read in with NDAs. And I think this guy may have been read in with an NDA. But the one thing that I've always been strong and steadfast on is there's a big difference, Walter, between UAP, which is the fancy new acronym that they've been using for the last few years, and UFOs, which I believe are of alien descent. I believe UAPs, which does cover UFO, is actually man-made objects. And that's the way the U.S. government is able to hide a lot of their special access programs, otherwise known as SAPs, and black projects under this UAP phenomenon. Because the one thing that they do love to do, and this I know firsthand from a source, is they love it when people are reporting their craft that they don't recognize as UFOs. That means they're doing their job right, coming out of places like Area 51 or Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, and they are using it as their own cover-up. So the fact that he mentions drones and UAP, well, that tells me that he's been working with some secretive man-made objects.
Wow. All right, that's Dave Scott, the host of Spaced Out Radio. You can see it on YouTube. Like it, subscribe to it. Dave Scott, a great contributor to Sterling every damn Sunday. Hello, I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is a live radio show, and I want to know the weather conditions where you are. An update on snow where you are. Here's my phone number, live at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210.
Sterling every damn night, inspired by bi girls.
All girls are bi. You just need to find out if she is bipolar, bilingual, bisexual, or just a bitch.
Sterling every night, study books, lusty books, get cozy with the owl and dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my short story collection, Disintegration, The Creakles. The soles of her sneakers slapped against the worn brick path. A salty breeze ruffled her chin-length hair as she wound her way down the steep hill. At the bottom, she veered to the left and ran parallel to the sparkling sea. Tiny cottages flanked the crumbling road at irregular intervals. She concentrated on her destination at the end of the lane. A large tree drooped over the juncture of sand and stone, nearly shielding the last dilapidated bungalow from view. Ro ducked beneath the shade of its branches and stopped to catch her breath. Leaning against the trunk, she fanned her sweaty cheeks with her hands and waited. Moments later, a second pair of footsteps approached. A tall figure joined her in the shadows and captured her lips in a smoldering kiss before she could speak any words of greeting. Feeling of breathlessness returned as she returned the kiss with fervor. Her knees grew weak, and she had to pull away before the dizziness overtook her. "I was starting to think I wouldn't see you today," she said, panting. "I had a lot of work to do." Devin grinned. Your well-to-do friend bought another old vehicle he doesn't need. "It's a mess, but I think I can work my magic on it." Ro rolled her eyes. "I'll never understand you men and your cars, or any other shiny toys which cost a lot of money." "Hey, those toys are what sends the money flowing in my direction, remember?" He wagged his finger at her in a mocking gesture. "So, if I were you, I'd watch my mouth," he teased. She stepped closer to him and slid her arms around his neck. And if I were you, I wouldn't be telling me what to do with my mouth. You never know. I could suddenly start feeling less generous with it. Oh, really? Devin moved in to kiss her again, and she turned her head to the side. His lips grazed her jawbone as he embraced her. What were you planning on using it for? Her muscles tensed, and she fought to ignore the heady rush sweeping over her when he licked and nipped the path along her neck. His fine blonde hair tickled her skin, and she breathed in its familiar scent. I guess you'll never find out now. Mm-hmm. His hands slipped inside her shirt, exploring her bare flesh. Rose squirmed beneath his roaming touch and held on to his broad shoulders for support. He reached behind her and fondled her curves, pulling her alongside his body. What if I apologize profusely? He murmured near her ear. Will you forgive me? She felt him pressing against her. Maybe. He nudged her backwards, pinning her to the tree trunk. When he attempted another kiss, she didn't resist. As their tongues engaged in a playful battle, he skimmed one hand up her stomach to her chest. How about now? He said. Rose sighed, feigning melodrama. Oh, fine. I suppose I can forgive this one transgression. She giggled, but her laughter was short-lived. Besides, we don't have a lot of time. He's coming back from the city today. Devin removed his hand from the inside of her blouse. I understand, even if it means you've been getting me all riled up for nothing. I didn't say that. In an instant, she whirled around and reversed their positions, shoving him against the tree. You did come all the way out here, after all. If I don't make it worth your while, you may not return. You know nothing could keep me away from you. He toyed with the ends of her hair as she covered his neck with kisses. A little longer, and we'll be together all the time. It was a promise she'd heard many times before. Her hands snuck beneath them and tugged at the waistband of his pants. A soft groan rumbled in his chest. Ro teased him further, walking her fingers along the length of his zipper. Tell me more, she said. He inhaled sharply as she popped open the button. I love you. I'm tired of sneaking around to see you, but I want to fix that. What else do you need to know? Good enough. She finished unfastening the closures and sank to her knees, encircling her fingers around him as she lowered herself down. I think it would be a good idea if I stopped there for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my short story collection, Disintegration, The Prequels, which is available at Amazon. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
All across America, talk radio and the voices of freedom.
Don't stop talking, don't stop sharing, don't stop laughing, don't stop caring. As long as you've got a voice, don't ever stop.
Make our freedom shine longer.
Spread your love all around.
Build our friendships much stronger.
And make every moment profound.
Hold our nation together.
Keep on working as one.
Don't stop talking, don't stop sharing.
truth. Don't ever stop. Turn us on. Turn us in. And say hello. We're talking about things you wanna know. Spend a little time landing here. You'll be lifted up by what you hear. So don't stop talking. Don't stop sharing. Don't stop laughing. Don't stop caring. As long as you've got a voice, don't ever stop.
Grab the hand of a neighbor. Hold it tight and tight. Wrap their love all around you. Turn the darkness to light. Don't stop talking. Don't stop sharing. Don't stop laughing. Don't stop caring. As long as you've got truth, don't ever stop. Keep on talking. Keep on sharing.
The phones are open.
Keep on laughing.
Give us a call.
On your mind.
Do you think?
Every damn night, inspired by hot girls.
Because I feel like if a guy is nice, that means he gets no girls, and that's like a turn off, you know what I mean?
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the owl and
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, A Flame Among the Stars. Despite the darkness, Solyndra's round eyes glittered in the wan moonbeams. Treat me like I'm any other woman who happened to cross your path and attracted your attention. Meg let out a nervous chuckle, ruffling the hair at the side of her head. Careful there. You might not know what you're getting yourself into. Is that a warning or a promise? She swallowed back a groan as Solyndra's coy remarks threatened to tear away all her reasons for resisting. Still, the doubts lingering at the back of her mind made her hesitate. Have to ask, she said. And if you tell any of the others, Ronan especially, about this rare, vulnerable moment of mine, I don't know what I'll do, but I'll come up with some sort of retribution soon enough. She tilted her head forward, her loose waves settling around her face into flawless frame. I'm listening. Meg inhaled a deep breath, then let it out. Why me? She finally said. With everyone you've ever come across, from the staff at the castle to visitors from far-off lands, why are you interested in an insignificant peasant from a village that doesn't even have a name? Solyndra crossed her arms in mock irritation. I thought we'd been over this. From the moment we met, you were friendly and kind to me, even before you knew my true identity. You invited me, a stranger, to join you, even giving me your sister's boots to make sure I'd be comfortable. She kicked at a tree root. It's not like anyone else was using them at the moment, she mumbled. Then, no matter what's happened since, you always know exactly what to do or say. I wish I could be half as smart and perceptive as you. And I still think you're crazy for saying so. Her gaze remained glued to the ground, her next words barely audible in the thick forest. I'm really not as special as you make me out to be. What else do I need to do to convince you? Dark red lips curved down into an alluring pout. Fine, I'll keep going then. I like the way your hair always looks so wild, like you've spent the whole day running through the wind on another adventure. I'm fascinated by how the color of your eyes shifts with the light, from calm seas to stormy skies. And whenever I see your smile, not like when you're fooling around with your friends, but the real one, I can't help but feel happy too. Okay, okay, enough. Fire burned in Meg's cheeks, and she hoped the shadows would help camouflage it. You're making me all flustered. Oh? Solyndra tapped her chin, pretending to study her. I didn't think anything ever flustered you, Meg. How interesting. She tried to laugh, though it came out as more of a snort. So, putting aside all the flattery, where does this leave us? Well... Leaning against the tree, she tossed her hair back, letting the starlight illuminate her face. Based on our conversation last night, and everything since, I think you owe me a kiss. Meg's heart skipped a beat, but before she could respond, Solyndra straightened, her air of self-assurance replaced by a perplexed expression. Is this how these things are supposed to go? She whispered. The words sounded pretty good in my head, but now I'm not so sure. She couldn't stop the corners of her mouth from turning up in what she assumed was one of the aforementioned genuine smiles. It was perfect. Stepping forward, she closed the gap between them. As Solyndra gazed at her with her striking green eyes, she felt an obligation to make this kiss memorable. Reaching up, Meg caressed the side of her face, her thumb tracing the contour of her cheekbone. With gentle pressure, she tilted her chin upward and brought her mouth to hers, letting it hover in place for a brief yet endless moment before coming in contact with her. Soft lips welcomed her, parting when she snaked her tongue forward. The taste of her made Meg's knees tremble, and she sought to explore her mouth in detail. With every advance, Solyndra's tongue engaged her with a playful swirl, eager to probe into her in return. Meg buried her fingers in her silky hair, holding her tight. Her other hand meandered lower to rest at her waist, and her imagination went into overdrive, fantasizing about what lay beneath her heavy layers of clothing. Solyndra enhanced the vivid images by gripping her shoulders and pulling her closer. With a sturdy tree behind her, their bodies flattened together, and Meg had to resist the temptation to tear her cloak off of her. She reminded herself to be patient, however, and settled for losing herself to their blazing kiss. Unfortunately, I think I need to stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, A Flame Among the Stars, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.